most important thing in life will always be the people right here, right now. That's what's real. Hello?
Dominic Toretto, you don't know me. You're about to.
Who did this?
Remember Earnshaw? This is Big Bad Brother. He's a special forces assassin. They created a monster.
Looks like the sins of London have followed us home.
We're being hunted.
Shaw lives in a world that doesn't play by your rules.
Like it or not, you and your friends are a part of it now.
I don't have friends. I got family. This time it ain't just about being fast.
Can somebody just walk me through what we're supposed to be doing?
Yo, Roman, you need some fresh air?
Just when you didn't think it could get any better, huh?
We got mercenaries after us with enough weapons to wipe out small countries. This right here takes crazy to a whole nother level.
So what's the plan, Don?
One last ride.
Nope, I'm not looking.
What's up now?
How's it going? Welcome to Cinema Crespo Iso bonus spoiler episode on Furious 7. Spoiler alert, here we go. We're talking about them, all them details for Furious 7, which we just saw. I'm with Drew Skogberg. Drew, how's it going?
What up, bro?
All right, we're just chilling. We saw that Furious 7.
It was furious.
It was pretty furious. It had some furious bits to it.
There were seven of them.
And we're going to get into some of the details that we couldn't talk about in our normal episode, episode 117. So let's just get it out of the way. Let's start talking about that Paul Walker. I want to talk about Paul Walker.
What about him? He's dead.
Well, he's dead. Infamously died.
Maybe he rose today.
Maybe he rose today. Say the day of Paul Walker.
It Sunday. Could be.
I don't think he did.
He could be the Messiah.
I don't know. Nah. not my Messiah. Not Paul Walker. He died when they made the movie, and they had to finish it without him, and it included things like CG renderings and body doubles and face replacement using his brother and stuff. And I gotta tell you, there's only for me, there are only a couple of scenes where I'm like, this has to be, there's just something weird about the way this scene is presented that they have to be shooting around Paul Walker stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you said that you felt there. That you saw a bunch of fake Paul Walker.
Yes, I saw.
Like, what did you think was fake Paul Walker?
I had some fake Paul Walker spottings.
Like what?
There were just some. I mean, like the entire scene at the end where he was on the beach, that was not real Paul Walker.
No.
No,
that was the one I knew for sure wasn't him.
That
was his brother.
There were a couple of some other scenes where, for the most part, they didn't do a lot of shaky cam. But there was definitely one scene with Paul Walker where it got super shaky cam, and I think that was just to get his face out of focus because it wasn't working right.
You mean like an action scene or whatever?
Okay. There were like maybe 10 to 12 times where I noticed like I don't think that's real Paul Walker.
Word.
No.
For me, there was like maybe.
I mean, there weren't extended scenes. There was nothing more than maybe like 10 to 30 seconds.
Oh, wait, I felt, no, I felt like, I mean, well, we mentioned at the end of on the beach.
Yeah.
That was definitely like a brother.
That was, yeah, that
with
was
some face replacement thing going on. It was weird.
Yeah, it was.
The scene where he's like sitting at the table and what's her name? Jordana Brewster's character, the sister, Mia, I think her name is. She comes over and talks to him. There's like a lot of shots where the camera's on her a lot and it's over his shoulder. And I feel like I think they're doing something here. I feel like they're
probably
trying. I think they feel like they're cutting around some Paul Walker.
Every time I didn't see, anytime his character was in a shot, but I didn't see his face, I just assumed that it was a body double.
The thing at the, when the house blows up in the beginning, and it's him with the kid,
yeah.
And then it's like Vin and the sister are hanging back, and you only see them in one shot, and then Paul Walker's in another shot. I'm like, this has to be some sort of. It was stuff like that where I felt like technique wise. It was just kind of awkward the way it was being made. So I feel like they're doing something. But actually looking at him, I couldn't be like, oh, there's CG Paul Walker right there. I couldn't do that.
No.
Which I guess is not. Does that say more for me and my poor eyesight than it does for the movie's technical abilities?
Probably.
And maybe it's a combination of the, of the two. I wonder how much of the movie, because the movie then becomes about how, sort of, about how he has a family.
Kind of.
He's got a second kid on the way.
Yeah.
And he's being domesticated.
Yes.
And how will he take to that? He misses the bullets.
Yes. He does. He misses the bullets.
He misses the bullets. In the whole movie, he's in all the action in the entire movie. All right, this makes no sense.
Okay.
So he misses the bullets. He has the family. And the Mia's character gets sent off to some place in like the Dominican Republic to go hide for the entire movie. With the kid, so we don't have to worry about that character. It's not even doing anything, right? And then he goes through all the action scenes. Like, I missed the bullets. He's having a good time. And they're all ha-ha, having to laugh, right? Even though people are dying. And then when they finish their mission, which we'll talk about in a minute, then it's like, all right, now we're on a beach. And he's with his family. And they're like, oh, this is where he belongs. This is his life now.
Oh, it's totally... Right? It's totally the...
Well, here's the thing.
That
okay.
entire end scene... makes no sense in the movie unless you know that the actor who played the dude in question is dead.
Because
if he didn't die, that would not make any... In the movie, it makes no sense, but it makes sense because we know Paul Walker's dead.
Yeah, because they do all this great action-y stuff, right? And then even though there's like hints of like, oh, he should be with his family and domesticated and shit, no one ever actually talks to him about it that much. You know, it doesn't really come up.
Well, it's because I guarantee you that whole plot line was added, after the fact.
It was all after fact, right? So, then the movie gets to the end, and then they're all chilling on the beach watching him, and they're all like super happy, like happy sad, that doing that thing where they're like smiling, but they're crying.
They're sappy.
They're sappy, And they're looking at him playing with the family, like, oh, we're gonna miss him, like he's gonna be gone
with
now.
Fake Paul Walker,
and it's story wise, it's like what? So they're not gonna hang out. They're gonna stop talking now because he has a family.
Yes,
is he gonna like Uncle Dom's never gonna come over?
Correct.
Why?
Yep. Well, they're gonna continue to be this rogue band of assassins and
like for hire mercenaries of some sort
and mercs for hire after because you know all of that training racing cars really prepared them for that kind of lifestyle.
But even that stuff, it's not like a 24-hour job. I think 24-hour 7 days a week, they're gonna have downtime. There's gonna be breaks
not anymore.
They gotta
no man.
They still gotta be able to go.
They're all
with
Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol shit now.
I don't understand why they can't just hang out with Brian.
Nope. They can't.
And now the family's gone. And then,
because now he has a family, so he has to leave. He can't be part of the bunch anymore.
Yeah, then Vin Diesel
him and Mia leave forever, never to be in a Fast and Furious movie ever again.
And then Vin Diesel has his voiceover, where he's like,
he was my brother.
He's my brother. I'm going to miss him. Like, he's not going anywhere. He's not dead. The character's right there. We know the real guy is dead.
Nope.
But the character is not. Character's fine.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why that whole scene makes no sense unless
it makes no sense.
Paul Walker's dead.
It's really weird.
It is.
It's really weird. Well, I'm really not coming to the movie for the characters. I'm not coming to the movie for these characters. I don't care about the characters and their relationships. I want to see the crazy action. The last movie had a tank.
Yep.
And the crazy cars are like flipping cars and stuff.
This one had a helicopter and a predator drone. Predator drone.
CG predator drone was pretty cool. Helicopter didn't do much, just flying around. And Jimon Honsu was like, go get them guys.
The entire time I saw the helicopter, the first thing I thought was, why hasn't the military shot that thing down yet?
Yeah, after like 40 minutes of action scene, then they're like, military jets inbound, three minutes.
Yeah, because...
Oh, they're still not even there yet.
Because in a post-9/11 world, we just let unmarked, heavily armed, military-grade helicopters just fly around our metropolitan areas.
Yeah, ridiculous. And Predator drones blowing shit up.
Everywhere. Yeah.
But that's all the way, like, at the end, right? The plot of all the Furious movies, in part because of the Paul Walker thing and how they had to rewrite a bunch of stuff, I'm sure, because of that. Of the Fast and Furious movies, like since 5, 6, and 7, since they've been getting crazier, and they've gotten away from where a bunch of bank robbers and racers, so now we're...
An elite team of special forces people.
We do heists and crazy, right? All this crazy shit. It's the one plot that makes the least sense of all of them.
Yes.
You know, the... So there's... The movies does have a great opening, though, when it starts with Jason Statham, and he's giving the little monologue on the phone. And he's talking to his brother Shaw.
In the hospital.
He's not dead apparently, right? So I guess we'll get more of that guy in future Furious movies.
And then he walks back through the mayhem he had just created.
That's what I was gonna say. He gets an amazing intro because it's just him talking, and he's in a hospital room. It's like, okay. And then first he noticed that there's like as he's walking,
and then it pulls back, and you see the two nurses sitting there, scared out of their minds.
Yes, and then you're like, oh, why are those guys so freaked out? And then as he goes down the hallway, it's just massive destruction, bodies everywhere. And it's a long shot of him going all the way back downstairs to his car, and just the whole hospital's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's an amazing intro. It's like, wow, that's what this guy's capable of. And these guys are going to have to fuck with this dude now. This is like Transporter times
times the Bourne Supremacy or whatever.
It's
like super agent.
He is a super agent. And so that's an awesome intro. So he's going after Dom and his guys. Somehow, this is hysterical. More movie funerals need to end in car chases.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I'm talking about going funeral directly into car chase.
Yes.
Because they're at the funeral for Han.
Yep.
They went and got the plot from Tokyo, brought her back to America. I don't know why Han went like that. And they got him buried over there. And then there's like you see the car like hovering around, and Vin Diesel's like,
he's just eyeing it.
He's like, oh, I think that's good.
He didn't say anything. He was just eyeing the car, and then all of a sudden he was in his car.
Well, the other characters were talking, right? And then all of a sudden he's in his car. He walks off screen.
The chase starts in the cemetery.
He jumps in his muscle car, and then they peel out of the cemetery into the streets. Awesome car chase scene that ends with them playing chicken, with them colliding. That was awesome. That was really cool.
Yeah.
And then it set up when they did it again at the end. Yeah. But then Vin Diesel had his other car.
Yeah.
Where he made the jump, the front pop up, and then like he crushed it. That was fun too.
Yeah, but
good times.
I mean, I'm just glad Secret Agent, what's his fucking Kurt Russell, showed up to save Dom at the end of the first collision.
Yeah, okay, so that's what I was wanting to get to, right? That's what I'm trying to, because that's the plot. So to speak, the plot mechanisms,
kind of.
Right? So they collide head on. Boom, he got Vin Diesel and Jason Statham face to face. Statham's got a gun on him. And then he gets shot at.
This is going to be a street fight.
Yeah, right? And then he gets shot at, and it's a bunch of commandos come in. Statham gets the fuck out of there, and it's Kurt Russell. He's leading a bunch of team, and he's Mr. Nobody, and he's some sort of shadowy government black ops type thing.
Yeah.
Takes him back to his Mission Impossible style hangar. Where he shows him the God's Eye. Now, this is the movie's MacGuffin. Okay? The silly device he used in the movie to get the plot going. The God's Eye, which is basically, the Batman Dark Knight thing on, I guess, a worldwide scale.
Yep. Right? Correct.
And they're like, all right. None of this makes any sense. He's like, Curtis is like, you work with us to get the things we need to make this work.
Because the U.S. government can't be involved.
Even in the
Black Ops shadow world, they can't know.
Yeah, that's how geopolitical it gets.
No.
So you get it for us, and then we can use it to find Shaw. And he's like, okay, dude. So he gets his, quote, team. Because now they're
a team.
And now it's like, his team, this is your team. It's like, now there's a bunch of jack-offs. Uh-huh. They're like, an actual team. And here's the thing. The whole part where it's in the trailers where the bus in the mountains.
Yeah.
They skydive their cars down to the street. And then they go after the bus. Yeah, just play the trailer. And then they're like, this is the hardest part for him to access. Like, this road is impossible. We have to skydive into it. That's why we do it there. Blah, 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 blah. We have, so we can do this whole heist thing to get this thing so we can use the God's Eye to find Jason Statham. In the middle of that action scene, Jason Statham just shows up.
Yep. He's like, boom. Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going? I'm here to rock your world.
He's like, I am here. And
I'm going to kill you.
I don't even know why you need a God's Eye because I'm here already. And then that happens throughout the movie.
Yeah.
No matter where they go to Abu Dhabi, Jason Statham shows up. Yeah. They go back to America, Jason Statham just shows up. Why do they need the God's Eye? He's tracking them.
They just need to stand still. He's hunting them.
They just need to stand still if they want to find him. So there's no need for them to get in touch with, you know, to do all this other stuff.
Well, and
so
the funny thing is about that, Vin Diesel, before they even start with the whole MacGuffin thing, Vin Diesel's like, he's hunting us. Why don't we just stay where we're supposed to be and have him come to us? And Kurt Russell's like, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, what the
and
fuck?
Yet, that's the that's what happens throughout the movie.
It's so stupid. It's so insane. So, yeah, essentially, like, the 40 minutes, 50 minutes in the middle of the movie is all essentially pointless. I mean, it's for great action. It gave us that amazing action scene that showed cars having a car chase down the side of the Caucasus Mountains.
Yes.
Like, down a mountainside. Yes. That was fucking
That was pretty cool.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I like... It sucks that the trailer gave away the whole skydiving car thing, as well as the building, the car jumping from building to building thing.
The building to building thing would have been so awesome if I didn't know about it.
If it just happened, you're like, wait, jumping from building to building, when they jump into a third building?
Yeah,
it would have been amazing. But now I knew it was happening all the way up to the last beat of Vin Diesel jumping out of the car and sliding to the edge. Like, I knew how it was going to end, too. Fucking marketing. It's like how they use the car coming out of the nose of the plane for the Furious 6 trailer is like, well, now I know how the scene's gonna fucking end. You got something to do. It's really lame when they do that. But it was still cool that so the whole parachuting thing led to the chase down the side of a mountain and all that crazy stuff. And the, what was the name of that car? That crazy car? The something devil, the awesome name.
I do not have an answer for you, sir.
It had an awesome name, one of the car that they used that was all reinforced like so it could roll down the side of a mountain. And people could live inside it somehow. They death-proofed it. And so all that shit is pointless, but that's pretty much the plot. But then none of that really ties directly into the whole Brian's family thing, because that was all done as the add-on thing to make up for what happened, right?
Yeah.
So comparing this to Furious 5 and 6, because it's most like those movies. As dumb as those movies
Fast
are.
Fast 5, Fast and Furious 6, Furious 7.
Technically, if you watch Fast and Furious 6, I remember at the end of the movie, it said Furious 6, like Fast 5, Furious 6.
So. IMDb, it's Fast 5.
I know, then they change the name, like, on the marketing and the official movies. It's weird.
Well, it's Fast and Furious, then it's The Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, it's strange. It's strange. So, all that stuff was, like, unnecessary in the middle. But, so what happened is Fast Furious 5, Fast Furious 6, even though those are also dumb movies, the stories still
They
make more sense. So even in their world, they still make more sense. The plot points connect better than in this one. But then again, not coming to these movies for intricate plot work and stuff like that, you know. I'm coming to them for the awesome action, which I feel like I got, right? I appreciated that they actually used Tony Jaa. I was afraid that, you know.
Oh, no, they used him well.
Yeah, I thought he was going to have the one scene, and he wasn't really get to do his Tony Jaa thing.
He was throughout the whole movie, and he was fucking Muay Thai master.
Yeah, that second scene, the rematch they had in like the warehouse or whatever, which I think that must have been fake Paul Walker too. That was actually my favorite moment in the movie when Tony Jaa does like a knee. He does the knee jump, his classic Tony Jaa double knees into Paul Walker's chest or stunt double, whoever that was, that guy that looked like Paul Walker. Into his chest, into the door breaks, and then they're sliding down like 3-4 flights of stairs on the door, and Tony just like, and he's punching them while they're going down, they're sliding down. That
was very Tony Jaa.
That was very Tony Jaa, plus it was very Fast and Furious-y, you know, like an absurd action beat that would never happen in real life.
Well, I mean, speaking of absurd action beats, we got to see The Rock still doing the rock bottom. On Jason Statham.
Yeah.
Jason Statham totally got rock bottom.
Jason Statham got rock bottom into some... I actually like that whole first
through
fight
a glass
scene.
Table.
That fight had a very Steven Seagal feel where they kept throwing each other through glass windows and doors and tables and stuff. An absurd amount of broken glass in that scene.
Yeah.
And not
a single cut.
And also, I like how that scene where it explodes, right? There's the explosion.
Yeah.
And The Rock and the lady, the Brazilian lady, they go out the window and... they find a car to land on, and it doesn't kill him. You know, no, it puts him in a hospital, but it doesn't kill him at all.
He breaks an arm.
And it's definitely, that's in line with the whole Fast and Furious universe, where people use cars to break their falls.
Yes.
And then they're fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's weird how that happens in that world. In other worlds, you get like a Lethal Weapon type thing where it's death.
Yeah.
Not in this one.
Nope. Well, not if you're The Rock. Tell me The Rock doesn't die in movies.
Especially not this one. He breaks his arm, and then like he flexes his muscle and busts out of the cast, and then he's fine.
Daddy's got to go to work.
Yeah,
I have to go pick up a minigun off of a drone and fucking shoot down a helicopter.
And when he says Daddy's got to go to work, he's not being like cocky. Or
no, he's
bragging.
Talking to his daughter.
He's talking to his actual daughter. Bringing the whole family thing in. So I was like, let's keep track of how many times they say family.
They didn't say family.
The movie was, because it was about family. Yeah. It was just straight up as much about family as these movies have ever been. It's. Kind of predictable now. You know, it's families and action. It's a weird family action movie that's not really for families.
Correct.
Because it's not. Even though it's PG-13. It's just so... It's weird how the movies use women as set dressing.
Yes.
You know? And I would be like, these movies are fucked up, like, misogynism run wild, if it wasn't for the fact that they do have female characters in there also that are like strong,
yeah,
independent, smart characters. Yeah. That well, they all contribute in their ways.
In the old Fast and Furious movies, I think they definitely used women more as set pieces because of the whole racing world, and it's look at these scantily clad women, other.
They
really only had that one scene.
No, multiple scenes. There's the one in the Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
When they're at the party.
At the party. The whole party scene was pretty misogynist.
It got to the point where they even had women dressed up in like as statues, yes. Scantily clad statues. Yes. Like, literally, they are props. Before that, at the race wars, there was more like just...
That was it, though. That was it, only was, two.
It was a, but it was a crazy montage of girls like in bikinis, like sexy
and
dancing,
boobs
and spraying
asses,
water.
And
I've never been anywhere.
The whole close-up of that girl's undercarriage.
Yeah, the one that started the race.
Yeah,
it was aggressively...
in her vagina, yeah.
Aggressively sexist. Mm-hmm. Which was, it's just weird how that's an aesthetic of these movies. I guess it's from the very first one that they kept it.
Yeah.
But was it just those two? It felt like a lot.
I think it's... I felt like there was less in this one than in most of the others.
I felt like every time they turned around, there were just beautiful women in bikinis standing around. Oh, they're at the beach. Remember when they were at the beach?
Maybe,
they were at the beach.
Maybe that's just their world.
That is their world.
Maybe that is the Fast and Furious universe.
That is the Fast Verse. That's the
Fast Verse.
Where it's just everywhere you go, there are beautiful women dancing in bikinis.
Everyone races cars.
If you trip and fall, try to land on a car. Because
it will
break
your fall. You'll be fine.
And it's also a world where Paul Walker can defeat Tony Jaa.
Totally not.
Although Tony Jaa was giving him, was giving a lot of them good, and the flipping, and the flipping off the wall, and the elbows. Yeah. And
lots of elbows and knees.
People should go see Chirrut Ong Bak. I think it's still on the Netflix. Thai War, good stuff. It was absurd. But it's Fast and Furious, so that's what it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like we're missing stuff. We're missing a lot of stuff here. I mean, the whole thing with the car jumping from building to building was fun. I like how nice it looked. But then it was in the trailer, though.
Exactly. The whole part was in the trailer. It was just the extent. That whole scene was just an extended trailer, it felt like.
I was a little let down by, as much as I liked Jason Statham versus The Rock in the beginning, I was let down by Statham versus Vin Diesel at the end. Because it was a very basic, they were just like swinging wrenches at each other.
Well, that whole scene
wasn't
at the
much
end
of a fight.
Was when they were quote unquote playing hot potato
with the programmer,
yeah,
Ramsey, who feels like she's probably going to come back as a character,
probably.
That was like, but they were using the god's eye though, so like we know where this chick is all at all times.
Yeah,
so it's not really working.
No, they had to hack the god's eye.
It was more like it was. Just an extended action scene. It was more that the fact that the scenes were so long.
Well, they need to get a predator drone in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was more like the scenes were super long and they were really absurd by the end.
And The Rock had to crush the predator drone with an ambulance.
He crushed it with an ambulance and then he ripped the gun off. And then
he shot that helicopter.
Yeah, that was very Fast and Furious.
Almost a little G.I. Joey, too.
It was. G.I. Joey. That's the young G.I. Joey. I definitely hope that they make that Hobbs spinoff movie.
That could be fun.
Yeah. They've been talking about it for a while. Hopefully they do it. Did they say fuck in this movie? I don't think they used their one PG-13 fuck.
Not that I can remember.
Right? Yeah, I don't think so. No, I don't think
family so. Oriented, Chris. Family.
Family. That's why we have all this violence, all these people dying with gunshots, but no blood.
Oh, and that whole, I mean, good Lord, how many extraneous people died in L.A. that night? Just due to that drone.
Yeah. So much destruction and chaos and death. Death. Absolute death. People were dying. But that's classic again. Yeah. Classic.
PG-13 violence.
PG-13 Fastverse. That's how it goes. So, I mean, where would you rank it for the Fast and Furious movies that you...
I mean, for straight up fun factor?
Fun factor.
I'd rate it pretty high, like up in the eights.
Word.
But, you know, you can definitely tell that the movie got... That Paul Walker dying really fucked up that movie.
Yeah.
If Paul Walker hadn't died, I think we would have gotten a completely different plot. It
would have been, based on something else.
Yeah, something else would have been, it all would have changed.
Yeah.
There would not have been that end scene.
Yeah, how would it have ended? Not on the beach, whatever. Not like crying, that. For no goddamn reason.
Yeah. No, so, you know, when it comes to that, so I mean, I'd probably give it somewhere around like a 6.5 or a 7.
Where would you rank it in terms of like Fast Furious 5, 6?
I definitely like the last two more than this one.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely upped the action, like the scale of the action.
Yeah.
But, like, once again, the whole Paul Walker dying thing really fucked weird. This movie
it,
up.
It was weird. I still think I like Fast 5 more, but I'll put this on the level.
Is that the one in Rio?
Yes. With the bank. The bank vault.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It's absurd. Yeah. So absurd. And then with the car coming off the cliff and crashing and whatnot, like, oh, we jumped out at the end. We're good.
Yeah, and the last one was, you know, it ramped it up some more. And this one, it brought it up to that next level of action nonsense, definitely.
Which it had to do.
But it lacked pretty much everywhere else.
Yeah, it was still good and entertaining, but you know, it's a fast movie.
It was long, too.
Over 2 hours.
Could have been probably a half hour shorter.
Definitely could have been shorter. Could have been, as they say, faster, dare I say.
And more furious.
And a little more furious, slightly more furious. Anything else we want to mention about Ludacris or Tyrese, or you want to mention them? Or
not really.
The Rock was watching The Hulk.
No.
Anything else we missed there?
Tyrese was funny and stupid, kind of.
He did this funny, stupid thing. They brought back the Brazilian chick to not really do much.
At all. She was in a couple scenes.
When
they went to Tokyo and we got to see that the whole Tokyo crew.
Oh, that was weird how they showed him like in the car.
Yeah.
It's like, does someone here see you? And then they cut to the garage and he was like 10 years older.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this guy. that walk aged him.
That was supposed to have just happened.
That just happened a scene ago. And now he's much older.
Yeah.
I hope in the next scene, it's like it takes place a week later, and he looks like he's
in
the next
50s. Movie,
he's in his 50s. and then they find out he has some sort of horrible disease, and he's dying. And that's what Furious 8's about. Trying to get the cure for this guy super fast. Lucas Black. Lucas Black's super fast aging disease. He keeps this up. By the time you're 40, you look like you're 80. He's like, help me. Bow wow.
I'm
help
dying.
Me. Bow wow. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. That was kind of weird.
That was good times. Good times. All right. Well, there you go. That was your bonus episode, guys. Hope you enjoyed that little bit of goodness. Drew Sikogwer, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir.
All right. And then we'll be back soon with the next episode of the show. Just you wait and see. That's a threat.